You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week we hear the story of Bernie de la Cogna, who founded her eponymous luxury fabric brand in London over 20 years ago. While she now sells her textiles all over the world, she started out on her own, with a trip to India for inspiration. This week, Bernie shares her story.
I come from South Africa, born and bred, love it, love the bush, I'm a farm girl really. I was married, so I came to England, he was English. When we got to England, we broke up. And therefore I had to make a living, and that's how the company started. So I didn't know anything about fabrics. I didn't know what a warp was, I didn't know what a weft was. But I knew that I loved really beautiful things, and I understood the interiors industry just a little because I'd studied interior architecture in South Africa. So I had a friend who said, why don't you go to India and see what they can do in India? So literally with a pack on my back and trainers, I headed off to India and went on this incredible trip all the way through India. And I could see how incredibly creative they were. The colours that they produced, the fabrics that they wove. I didn't know how they did it, but they were extraordinary. Everything they did, in my mind, in those days was so creative. So I thought, I'm sure I can do this. So I managed to find a mill. Remember, there was no internet. This was 25 years ago. So there was hardly any internet. So it was yellow pages. And I'd get the yellow pages and I'd walk around Bombay trying to find people who'd talk to me and help me. So eventually I found a company, another train trip, and I went out to this, it was really like a cottage industry. They were spinning the yarn, weaving the yarn, dyeing the yarn. And that's where I learned how to weave. I sat next to the weavers and they showed me how to weave. I understood what a warp and a weft was. And then after a couple of days when I understood it, I said, great, let's weave linen. Because I'd previously been in Belgium and I've seen this fibre called linen. And I loved the way that it looked so shabby and it had a vintage, comfortable appearance. And they didn't have any linen. So I came back to the UK, bought the linen, the raw material, sent it out to India. The problem was that I couldn't control the quality and I knew I wanted to create something really luxurious and special. I started weaving out there, brought it all back to the UK, and then of course you can't walk around with rolls of fabric over your shoulder, so I turned all these bits of fabric into cushions. Didn't know anybody, so I'd buy House and Gardens and find the names of interior designers and call them, take my cushions, my rolls of fabric and my cushions along, and that's how the business started. It was soon that I realised that the quality coming out of India wasn't what I wanted to do and I couldn't control it. So I had to move it all to Europe. That was a big challenge because what I could get done in India was impossible to get done in Europe. So I think my big breakthrough came when I found a company that was stonewashing jeans. You know, the sort of stonewashed, beaten up looking jeans? Well, I got them to stonewash linen fabric for me, and it gave it that vintage appearance and also made it a lot softer. Travel's really important, I think. Now I travel all over the world, but when it first started, it was all very much economy travel with a pack on my back. But it was great because I had more time to explore. So yes, love travel, love exploring. And it sounds like just like India. It's not India. Anywhere in the world is exciting. Probably a year after I started, I brought on the first person to help me. And then 6 months later, the second person. And that was all at home. So it's, you know, I got help pretty soon because it's quite difficult to design, to do the traveling, to do the selling, to find who to sell to deliver, to do the packing. I brought people on pretty soon. You know, the Yellow Pages days were the easy days because they were the days where there was lots of time, there weren't any pressures. And also I think I didn't know what I was in for. Whereas now, you know, there's a lot of stuff and there's a whole structure and there's board meetings and all that sort of thing to deal with. When you start, you think it's difficult because there are always financial constraints. But actually, as you get bigger, it becomes a whole lot more involved. But I was lucky because we moved the production to Europe. And by moving to Europe, really able to work with tiny little boutique mills who have, you know, sometimes family companies, who have a huge history, and they're very creative and they're very passionate about what they do. So particularly the Italians, they're prepared to try anything. So I'll come up with a crazy idea and they're prepared to work with me on it and develop it. So, you know, that makes it really interesting. But on the other side of it, it is a commercial business and it has, you know, very much believe in people and process. So we have processes and we have a big staff and I have to go to America once every 6 weeks. So, you know, there's a whole lot more to what it was in the beginning. This is a much more structured, tougher time within the business, but also very exciting because, you know, next year we're opening a huge shop, so to speak, when all the retailers are closing down, we're opening. The only thing which has stayed constant is my absolute love of doing what I do. I don't believe that I've got anywhere near where I want to get to. Actually, yesterday somebody was asking me, you know, what's it like? Do you have a plan, a succession plan, or, you know, what's the plan for the future? And really, I can't imagine not wanting to do this. And I'm not going to stop until I can really say I've done it. And I certainly haven't got there yet. I think there have been a lot of crises along the way. In the early days, it was literally, you know, not funded. I didn't have an overdraft. So if I was going to buy something, I had to sell something first and make a profit. You know, in the early days, it was a matter of swapping things to get something. Finance was always a big issue in the early days, but I was never prepared to give up. There were stumbling blocks all along the way. I think one thing which could have wiped me out was we had an enormous internet fraud and lost hundreds of thousands. So that's the kind of thing which is much more scary and is more relevant today. Along the way, I've taken a huge amount of chances, and if the chances had all gone wrong, they could have wiped me out. But I think I've always had an attitude of take a chance, be bold, take a chance. But before you do that, just know what the downside is and what you'd do if it all went, you know, belly up. So there's hundreds of things in the last nearly 25 years that could have stopped me in my tracks. But generally, we've managed to succeed. I think something that I did... which wasn't the right thing to do, was I discovered that at different stages in a company, you need different sorts of people to be working with you. And what I did was employed people right in the beginning, and then I forgot that they may not be the right person to carry the company to the next level, because I so strongly believe in people, product, and process. I think at every stage you need different people. So I would say, you know, to understand that and be sure that you're employing the right people at the right time for the company is really important. And I didn't do that. So, you know, my team are the most important thing I could have. Even more important than the product, I think, to have the right team with me. I would also be looking for people who had the right attitude rather than possibly the right university degree. I don't really care what where people come from or what they've got, as long as they've got the right attitude, because you can teach anything. So I think that's something I've really learnt the hard way along the way. And, you know, I had a lot of big breakthroughs. I was very lucky in this business. I was lucky that the product which I liked suited the market, because I just do what I really like. And if you want to succeed, don't underestimate what it's going to take you to get there and how much you have to give up along the way. You know, we all hear about people who got lucky, 18-year-old multimillionaires who've just cracked it. But that's the very few. I think, you know, to be successful, you have to be totally determined and you have to grit your teeth every single day and just never give up and just go for it.
Thanks very much to Bernie, founder of De La Cogna, for sharing her story. This show was edited by George Madonna. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.